You are listening to the Stillbirth Matters podcast, presented by the Star Legacy Foundation, a national nonprofit founded on the belief that every pregnancy deserves a happy ending. Learn more at starlegacyfoundation.org. Our guest for this episode is Derek Brown. Derek is an emergency room doctor in San Antonio, Texas. After experiencing several miscarriages, Derek and his wife Jenna lost their son Lucas to stillbirth in April of 2018. In this episode, Derek talks about their loss of Lucas, how it changed the way he approaches his job, and advice he has for doctors who work with patients and families experiencing trauma. Derek and Jenna founded and lead the San Antonio chapter of the Star Legacy Foundation. Well, Derek, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
Thank you very much for having me on, Chris. I appreciate it.
Before we dive in and start talking about your career and what you do for a living, let's talk a little bit about your personal experience of loss, because I think that's an important backdrop to have before we launch into the rest of this conversation.
Yes, of course. So back in April, Jenna and I, my wife, we experienced the loss, the death of our son, Lucas. This was our first pregnancy. We had a few miscarriages before that, and we were getting really, really excited, and you know that those feelings of being a father were starting to set in, and we went in for the last OB appointment before the due date, and I remember the nurse initially having trouble finding a heart rate and calling in the doctor, and then the doctor coming in and performing an ultrasound, and then that's kind of when it set in that Lucas had died. He was 2 days before his due date, and it was just kind of a whirlwind after that of seeing doctors and making plans and arrangements, and a lot of chaos and uncertainty and fear and a lot of pain that followed that. But since then, we've continued to move on and progress.
And I know that you and your wife have gotten pretty involved with the Star Legacy Foundation. So you're doing productive things with your grief and your loss. I guess my next question, I want to transition into what you do for a living. Following the loss of Lucas, how long went by before you went back to work? And when you did go back to work, how did you approach your job differently? And what do you do for a living? I suppose that's the first question we should ask.
Yeah. So I'm an ER doctor, emergency medicine physician. I'm actually currently in a fellowship training program for EMS and disaster medicine. So working in the emergency department is just a small part of what I do. Being in a training program still, I was able to take a significant amount of time off. I think 6 weeks off from any sort of requirements where I had to be, you know, present. And it was probably 2 or 3 months before I actually went back to working in the emergency department. So it was definitely a long period of time before I had to eventually go back to work. I think it would have been much more difficult if I was expected to go back to work earlier, and very difficult if I was expected to go back and start seeing patients and caring for patients right away.
So I have a desk job, and going back to work for me following my loss was a little bit different. I was able to go sit in a room alone in front of a computer, and you are you're dealing with people who are experiencing trauma and emergencies on a daily basis. So can you share a little bit about how your personal experience of losing Lucas changed the way you approach your daily work, specifically as it relates to people with perinatal losses?
For sure. So in the emergency department, most of my experience or contact with perinatal loss is with evaluating patients and families for possible miscarriage. In the emergency department I work at, anybody that's pregnant over 20 weeks or in that immediate postpartum period will go right over to the obstetrics department and be evaluated there. So I'm only really seeing patients early on in pregnancy. Although being an EMS, I do encounter patients who are much farther along in pregnancy, but it's at a more limited extent. Losing Lucas has definitely impacted how I approach patients who are suffering in general, and basically every patient interaction, I think has been affected by the death of Lucas. But definitely when dealing with patients who are concerned, the concern is for miscarriage, it is much more real and has a greater impact. With the death of Lucas and all the pain that I went through with that, and you know, being on the other side of medicine, being, you know, the family, has changed how I approach patients who are suffering. So, you know, being an ER doctor, we're very problem focused. If somebody comes in with a complaint, I want to know, you know, what the actual issue is, make sure there's nothing life threatening going on, and then get, you know, treat them and then get them the appropriate sort of follow up. And that's kind of how emergency medicine works. And a lot of times, especially for new doctors, and I'm a pretty new doctor, I'm only a few years out of residency, falling into that mantra can be good and bad. And sometimes you can lose touch of that human side, that personal side of your relationship with your patient. I think going back to work now after losing Lucas, I'm more in tune with that human contact, that personal experience with my patients, that I'm more in tune with, you know, how they're feeling and how they're suffering and how I can address that issue more than just the medical complaint. I remember having an attending when I was in residency training who said that, you know, you always got to find out why the patient's here. There's the medical issue that, you know, we're worried about as doctors, but there's a reason why the patient's there, whether it's they're having a lot of pain or they have some questions or just some concerns. There's a reason why they're there, and that is what you need to get at during your time with them. And that became much more real to me after this whole experience. So it has changed how I approach every case. I think specifically when talking about miscarriages, which is most of my experience with perinatal loss as a physician, it's changed how I talk to my patients and definitely changed how I relate to my patients. So with any patient encounter, not any, but with a lot of my patient encounters, sometimes it brings back some pain of that loss of Lucas. But anytime I'm evaluating somebody for a miscarriage or a pregnancy related condition, I definitely feel that pain again. And it's not overwhelming or paralyzing, but I do need to take, you know, a moment, take a breath, kind of compose myself. And that time also kind of refocuses me to help me connect with that person and get at what the true needs are at that time beyond just the medical issues. Before, when I would evaluate somebody who's having possibly a miscarriage, you know, when we've ruled out all those life-threatening conditions and that uncertainty of, you know, this could be a miscarriage is there, I now take more time to try and explain things to the patient and really just to be present and show that, you know, I care as a person. I'm not just your doctor. I'm a person sitting in front of you and I care. And I know that you are suffering. I know that you have a lot of uncertainty and questions. I know it's confusing at this time. And I don't have the answers, but I do care at a personal level. And just trying to be there and answering any questions they may have and trying to provide them a little more guidance other than the usual statistics I used to just rely on. Statistics like, you know, most pregnancies go on to be full term even after things like vaginal bleeding, and that, you know, miscarriage doesn't happen all that often with patients in your circumstances. So just going beyond that and really getting at the root of the problem, which is the uncertainty that they're having and the fear that they're having about an issue with their pregnancy.
You talk to a lot of families who have experienced pregnancy loss, and a lot of them talk about how underrated bedside manner is when it comes to dealing with doctors and physicians, specifically following a loss. And it's really touching to hear you talk about how your experience has changed your approach. And I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I have to ask the follow-up question is, can you think of a specific example, without naming any names or what was going on exactly, but a specific example of a patient or a family that you were working with where you changed your approach, or you maybe changed just one thing that you said to them just based on your personal experience, where maybe Lucas was living through you in that moment and he was compelling you to treat this patient a different way?
Yeah, I do feel that it is, you know, somewhat of Lucas's legacy and him living through me and his impact on my life. And it's reassuring in a way too. I recently had a patient who had some spotting early on in the pregnancy, and going about the exam and the workup, I definitely took more time to explain what we were doing. And then when it came down to, you know, this isn't an ectopic pregnancy, which is when the baby develops outside of the uterus, this isn't an infection, that this may be a miscarriage, but I can't tell you that yet. You'll have to follow up with your OB doctor. When it came to that point, I think spending more time, I sat there longer with the patient. I asked specifically, do you have any questions? Is there anything else I can do for you? And I tried to give them more direct guidance on what to do when leaving the emergency department. So I did take more time there at the bedside than I think I used to prior to this occurring. And I think that happens a lot just with any patient with any condition, is I pause sometimes at the bedside and just asking, you know, what can I do for you? Or do you have any other questions? Just getting more at that connection.
The Star Legacy Foundation frequently hears from doctors that they don't get a lot of training when it comes to bedside manner or how to talk to families about the potential for losing a baby or after the fact of losing a baby. Was this your experience in your training for becoming a doctor?
Yeah, formalized training in dealing with families experiencing grief, families experiencing loss is limited to, you know, maybe an afternoon or some, you know, some a few courses or a few sessions of a class in medical school. And then in residency training, maybe there was a few hours of lectures or talking about this over the course of a 3-year residency. But most of the training and most of the experience comes from, you know, on the job, is when you are there treating patients, caring for patients, and you have a more experienced physician over you, and you have the opportunity to watch them so you can kind of mimic what they do, pick up on what they are saying and how they're acting. And also those moments before you have to break the news to the family, or those moments after when you have those, you know, teaching points, you know, just outside the room or before you go in. That's where most of, I think, the training comes from. And there definitely needs to be more formalized education. It is getting better, I listen to a lot of podcasts to keep up, and one of my favorite podcasts even touches on this topic from time to time, just breaking bad news to patients. And they've even had a session on perinatal loss and how to approach a family after that. So it's getting better, but I think most of the learning comes from those experiences with somebody who is experienced and being able to see how it's done right, and then being able to do it with some guidance, being prepared ahead of time.
What advice would you have for a doctor who may be the best doctor in his or her field, and maybe the smartest person in his or her field, but they fall short when it comes to breaking bad news to patients and really having that soft touch in the difficult moments? What have you learned from your experience? What are the tips you would give a doctor on how to master those type of situations?
It's very difficult, and it's mostly about that personal connection that you make with your patients. If it's just you providing medical advice and providing medical care, that's not going to be enough. It's going beyond that and being a person, being a human, and letting that show through your interaction with your patients. And that can be difficult for some people, harder. I'm not the best at first impressions. I'm not the best speaker. But if you can just show that you care at a personal level, and even showing your own emotion, so not holding back if you're going to have tears, not showing that you are upset. You don't have to be the strong doctor and the know-it-all at all times. When somebody's grieving, when they just find out that they've lost a loved one, that they've lost a child, they're not thinking about the medicine side of things. They're feeling immense pain, immense grief, and they're feeling alone. And I think that aloneness is even worse with the loss of a child. Because it's not spoken about as much, and you may feel almost that you shouldn't be grieving as much as you are, that you should be moving on with a perinatal loss. And I think if, as a physician, you can just show that you do care and it's okay to care, and that you're also experiencing pain and grief from the situation, which ultimately you will to some extent, I think that's the most important thing that you can do.
Derek, do you feel like you're better at your job since you lost Lucas?
Yes and no. I feel as though I care for people better after losing Lucas. I don't think I'm necessarily a better doctor, per se, but I think I care for people better. I don't know if that comes through to my patients, but I feel more of a connection to somebody, and I feel that I'm having more of an impact in trying to get at the underlying pain that they're having, and trying to ease suffering in general and not just treating the medical problems. So I do feel that I'm better at treating people.
Is there anything else we haven't discussed yet that you feel is important to say?
I think, so being on the other side of medicine, being the patient and not the doctor this time, definitely brought some new things to light for me, and things that I've learned about that may apply to other physicians treating people that are healthcare providers, treating those families, and just in general. I felt a lot of, so after we found out that Lucas had died, and we were still planning, we had to still go to labor and delivery because Lucas still had to be delivered. We're making all these medical decisions, and all these questions that Jenna had you know, I felt that that medical knowledge that I had would be more helpful than it was. And having that medical knowledge, I think I felt a lot more guilt than I would have otherwise, feeling like maybe I missed something, or, you know, how was I not able to protect Lucas or protect Jenna? So I was feeling a lot of guilt at that time. And then when medical people would approach me and start talking to us, and if they knew me already from working at the hospital, or they found out that I was a doctor, sometimes they would change how they spoke to me, and they'd speak more in medical terms. And really at that point, I didn't want to be a doctor. I didn't want to be making those decisions. I didn't want to think about things in that medical sense. I just wanted to be there as a husband and a father. And so for medical professionals who are treating other medical professionals, or families who have medical professionals there, I think one of the things that I learned is just speak to people as if they're any other patient, you know, explain things the same way, give them the same compassion, the same care as you normally would, and don't necessarily change how you speak to them, or, you know, you're not going to insult their intelligence by speaking at this higher level. You know, just, they're not there as a medical professional. They're there as a family member, as a patient. So that was something that I definitely noticed when we were going through this whole experience. And I thought it was important. And that's also changed how I've dealt with some of my patients who are medical professionals or have medical experience, is just, you know, not talking at that level, just, you know, all the sciencey words and scientific things, and, you know, actually explain things as I would to anybody and treat them the same as I would anybody, because they're not wanting to be that role at that time in their life.
Well, Derek, from one grieving father to another, and from one member of the Star Legacy Foundation family to another, thank you for making the time for this, and thank you for sharing your time and insights with us on the podcast today.
All right. Thank you very much for having me on. I appreciate the time.
That's all for this episode of the Stillbirth Matters podcast, presented by the Star Legacy Foundation. I'm Chris Duffy. Thanks for listening.